And welcome back once again to Truth from the Heart with Travis Sullivan. Hope you're having a blessed day. And I'm continuing Season 2, Episode 3, which I've entitled, Why the Series The Chosen is So Dangerous. And I hope you will catch Part 1 of this episode. You can do that on any major podcast platform, as well as at the podcast website, rss.com/podcast, with an S, / Truth from the Heart. And again, any major podcast platform, you can also find the podcast. Just remember to type in the full name of the podcast, Truth from the Heart with Travis Sullivan. Once again, I'm so glad that you are tuning in. This is a topic that I've wanted to talk about ever since I started doing this podcast. And I've been doing research over the last several months. As you know, I took a little bit of a hiatus as far as recording new episodes. I'm going to start to try and record these on a more regular basis if I can. It just depends on timing that I have and what else I have going on. And I always want to find time to be able to share God's word with you, to talk about issues that come up in our lives and things that need to be called out. And this is definitely one of those things. So again, hope you'll tune into part one of this episode, because I talk about some of the names of the people that I'm going to be mentioning, because they're going to be prominent throughout these episodes. And so go back and listen to those if you're not sure the background of the person or even the background of the show. I talked a little bit about the show in the last episode as well, or at least not the definition of the show, but just what it was supposedly supposed to do. So hope you'll catch part one. So I'm going to now start talking about some of the articles that I found that back up the different points that I want to make. And I will post the links to the articles as I talk about them in the description of this episode. Now, I don't want to read the articles to you because, of course, you can read on your own. But this first one is one that has several points that I want to mention and talk about. Again, I'm not going to try and cover all of them, but I do definitely want to cover some of them because they're very relevant to what I'm talking about or the point that I'm trying to make about the series The Chosen being so dangerous. And before I get started today, let me just say this. I'm not trying to judge anybody. As I've said before, I don't have any ministerial training. I'm just trying to bring you a layman's perspective of the gospel, but this is one that I'm passionate about. This is one that I've had major conviction on, and it's a series that I cannot support, and I don't think any Christian should be supporting it when you get down to the roots and you do your research and you look, because on the surface, this is one of the biggest things of the enemy. On the surface, you're like, well, it's a series about the Bible. It's a series about Christ. What could be bad about it? You have to always look at the intent and look at where the information is coming from and everything else. And a lot of people don't do that. They just say, oh, you know, it's a series about Jesus. And, you know, Dallas Jenkins, his dad, was the author of the Left Behind series. Dallas Jenkins is a good guy, so this must be a good series. There is so much more to it than just that. People don't want to take the time and do the research. And I can understand that. Again, in the busy world that we live in, everything being thrown at us, you want to find things that you can support or things of the Bible. But that is what the enemy does best, is he portrays himself as an angel of light. And he loves to have things that take us away from Christ rather than lead us to him. And that is what I believe that this series certainly does. So let me start. Here is an article, and it's from fulcrum7.com. I've never heard of it. I think it's kind of like a blog website. I know there's several different articles on there. And it's called Your Scriptural Pivot Point. And again, it's called Fulcrum 7. And it's an article by Randall Lassell. I think I said his last name right. I'm not sure, but Randall Lassell. And he says in this article, and again, I'm going to quote him pretty often, at least in this part of this episode, there is much about The Chosen that should concern the sincere Christian. The show blends major religion into one pot, a mystic, pantheistic, ecumenical, feministic, Jesuit, and Mormon golden calf. It's candy-coated with biblical references to appear Bible-based, while treating the Word of God as just another book and blurring any distinction between God's remnant movement and the apostate church. And he lists 14 examples, and I'm probably not going to cover all of them because I'm going to, again, let you read the article on your own time, but I do want to hit some of the major ones. And here are some of the examples of how the show twists Scripture and demeans Christ. And here's the first one, and I actually watched this scene. Now, obviously, I'm not going to play audio from any of these scenes, because I believe that they are blasphemous. They're blaspheming God, and I'm not going to do that on this podcast. I will not blaspheme my God. So if you want to find these, you can find them on YouTube. They are free. I don't encourage that you watch them unless you are strong in your faith. They're not ones that you should watch for entertainment purposes, because as you've heard me say, and I'm going to keep hitting this point home, and you're probably going to get tired of hearing me say this, nothing speaks to us like God's word itself. It doesn't need any help. You're not to add to it, and you're not to take away from it. And that's exactly what this show has done. And people will say, well, they make it very clear that it's not, you know, part of the Bible, and they encourage you to read your Bible. The point is, you are portraying the top Christian figure. You are portraying a biblical character. And it's not just any biblical character. It's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So to sit there and say, well, it's not necessarily Bible-based. It's kind of, we've taken a lot of artistic liberty. What you've done is you're trying to add and take away from God's word. That's what you're trying to do. And again, that's what the enemy does. That's one of his biggest tactics. Drive us away from Christ rather than to Christ. Focus our minds on things that are not of the kingdom rather than things that are. Because he doesn't want us to know the real Christ. He doesn't want us to be reminded that he is a defeated foe, that he was defeated a long time ago. We're about to have Resurrection Sunday coming up here. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to have all these episodes done by that time. But nevertheless, we celebrate the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he conquered the grave, death, hell, and the grave. And to me, it's the greatest event in all of history when Jesus conquered the grave and rose on the third day, and he is still alive. There is no other religion in the world where the top figure is still alive, but our Jesus is alive and well. So here's the first example of how this author says that, and I agree with this point, that the show demeans Christ or twists scripture. And this one was in a meeting, in, you can read about it in the Gospels, of Jesus and Nicodemus and the conversation that they have. And I believe you can read the story of Jesus and Nicodemus in John 3, 1 through 21. My mom and I teach a Bible study class for children on Sunday afternoons, and this is one of the passages that they have to know where it is, because it's such an important passage for us to understand. Again, John 3, 1 through 21, and it's the story of Jesus and Nicodemus, and of course, he's asking Jesus, how is it that you can be born again once you have already been born? And Jesus explains to him that when you come to know Christ, you are a new creation in Christ, and you are born again, so to speak. Your life will never be the same again, and you are a new creation in Christ. And that's what he explains to him. Well, in the series, of course, which again takes very great artistic license, I guess you can call it, here's what happens. There are some subtle changes, and at the end of the scene, and I watch this, Jesus asked Nicodemus, what does your heart tell you? Which is a popular Disney line. And remember that the Bible has said the heart is deceptively wicked. Jesus would never ask someone, what does your heart tell you? Or what do you feel in your heart? Because again, the heart is deceptively wicked. And so that right there is taking a huge step, and a huge step in the wrong direction, as far as twisting the Bible and twisting what the message is that Jesus is trying to get across to Nicodemus. And some people may say, well, it's not that big of a deal. It is a big of a deal, especially for those who don't know Christ and don't know that story. You cannot rely on your heart. You just can't. You have to let the Holy Spirit guide you. So here's another point that I want to make about that scene with Jesus and Nicodemus. At the end of the scene as well, Nicodemus tries to kneel down and worship Jesus, and he doesn't let him. That also would never happen. There are many instances in the Bible where Jesus makes an appearance and he lets people worship him because he is worthy of our worship. Now, if you go and you read in the Old Testament, you will see times where angels appear and people try and bow down and worship them, and they say, you are not to worship us. I can't remember exactly what the instance was, but I know that Jesus made a pre-incarnation appearance before he was born, and whoever he was talking to kneeled down and bowed down and worship him, and he let him do that. Only Jesus will let us bow down and worship him. He will never reject our praise. He will never reject us from worshiping him and from praising him. So the fact that Jesus did not let Nicodemus do that in the series, to me, that is also another huge red flag, because that's not the true Jesus. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. It's a made-up Jesus. And so that right there tells me that whoever wrote that and whoever is okay with that doesn't know their Bible, because somebody that knows their Bible would know that is not the true Jesus. Later on in the series, Jesus says, "Soon it will be about the heart, which is the subtle nature of mystic teachings." Also, as far as the worship goes, the Catholic Church, I wouldn't say they hate the worship of Jesus, but I don't think they worship Jesus like they should. Obviously, they focus more on the Mother Mary, because you see her prominent. People would say, well, you see Christ in Catholic churches too. I understand that, but they do not worship Christ like they should. And don't get me started on Catholicism. I may do a whole nother episode on that as well. So continuing on in this article with some of these points, and again, I'm trying to hit them. I'm trying to make everything make sense. I hope I'm not bouncing around too much or trying to make you follow the bouncing ball. But here's another one, and this one is an arrogant forerunner. It's point number three in this article. Again, he listed 14 points, but this one's number three. And this one I have not seen scenes from, so I can't speak to actually having seen it, but it would not surprise me. And he says that in The Chosen, John the Baptist is arrogant, disrespectful, and always questioning Jesus. In one scene, Jesus says he is not ready to get into specifics. In a flippant voice, John the Baptist responds, "You appear not to be ready to get into the specifics on a lot of things." Okay, I've got my Bible here, and I'm sitting here looking through it. I don't see where John would have ever, ever said that to Jesus. I know that when Jesus was doing his ministry, even John was saying, "I'm not the greatest, he is the greatest." When he comes to be baptized by John the Baptist, John did not believe that he was worthy to baptize Christ. And he even says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So, yet you're portraying him as basically talking back to Jesus, and it's like, well, you don't appear to want to have to tell us anything. John the Baptist would not have done that. From what we read in God's Word, which is the holy, inspired Word of God, not somebody's interpretation of what they think that John the Baptist would have said. Because I don't care what you think he would have said, I care what he did say. I care about the Bible, Dallas Jenkins. I don't care about what you are trying to portray about John the Baptist. Also, in a previous discussion, John speaks to John the Baptist regarding incest and adultery, saying, "I understand it is against the law of Moses, but I am for bigger purposes than breaking the rules." This gives the impression from Jesus that John, who is about to confront Herod, is uninspired and even foolhardy, and that Jesus doesn't care about the Ten Commandments. And I would have to agree with that. Like I said, a lot of these points I agree with. You may not agree with that. You may say it's really not that big of a deal. They were just having this conversation. If it's not a conversation that took place in the Bible, then it doesn't matter. That's how I look at it. And maybe you don't look at it that way. But then I would say, well, do you really believe the Bible? Because the Bible is complete. It's the inspired Word of God. We're not to add to it. We're not to take away from it. He told us everything that we need to know in the Bible. So you could say, well, how do you know they never had a conversation like this? Because it's not in God's Word. So maybe they did have a conversation like this. I don't know, but we don't need to know about it because God would have told us this in his word. Does that make sense? Because God's not going to withhold anything that we don't need to know. We're not going to understand a lot of what God does just in our finite minds that we have. We don't ever understand the big picture, or understand what he's doing because we're not God. But we have to trust him with our whole hearts and know that he is the best for us. It's not a mystery of, I'm going to keep you in the dark on this, but not keep you in the dark on this. So hopefully that makes sense to you, and you can see why that is very concerning that he would say something like that. And also, I've heard that the portrayal of John the Baptist in the series is one where some of the apostles call him Creepy John. It's just this very arrogant, he's very strange, he's very weird. And again, that's not in my Bible. Now, maybe that's in your Bible. Who knows? It's probably in the Message Bible. Don't get me started on that one either, because that's not really a Bible. But anyway, the final point I want to make on this is that John stated in the word, I must decrease so that Christ can increase. Now, how is that coming from somebody that's arrogant? See how it doesn't line up? Somebody that's arrogant would never say, I need to decrease so that somebody can increase. It's, I don't need to change anything. I'm a creation in Christ and I'm perfect the way that I am. That's arrogance. But that's what I mean as far as this series, as I mentioned earlier. It has sprinkles of, he said this and they may have said this, and then, you know, the Bible says they said this and then it says this. But I would argue that there is a lot more of what they actually didn't say in the series than what they actually said, if that makes any sense. I think that Dallas Jenkins has added a lot to the series and not added enough from the Bible, but that is all by design. It's all to make it look like this is a series about the Bible. You should support it. I'm going to get Christians to support this because it's a series that's promoting Christ and this, that, and the other. No, it's not. And that's why I said it's one of the biggest tactics of the devil. Have a little thing and, you know, lead them in this direction and say, here, come here, when it drives them away from Christ instead of leading them to Christ. Read the Bible and let the Holy Spirit speak in your life and do its job. Because the Holy Spirit, those of us who know Christ have the Holy Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit is something that is so powerful. It's hard to explain in words, I think. When you know Christ, when you're making decisions, you can hear the Holy Spirit talking to you. It's not a verbal thing of, I heard a voice, you know, I heard an audible voice, but it could just be something just telling you, this is not the right thing to do. This is not the right thing to do. That's the Holy Spirit talking and speaking to you in your life. When you read the Bible, I've heard people say before, I've read it before, but it never hit me that way, or I never understood it this way. And that's because the Holy Spirit brings us to different points in the Bible in different times of our lives, depending on what we are going through, and speaks to us in different ways. But you can't say that this series leads people to the Bible when it doesn't portray the Jesus of the Bible. You can't lead somebody to the genuine by using the fake. Does that make sense? Now, the fake justifies the genuine, because you can't have a fake Christ if the real doesn't exist. I heard a pastor say it like this one time, and then I'm going to wrap up today's episode. I heard a pastor say this. He said that there was somebody, and they said, I think that it was a bank, and what they would do is they would have their employees go through and they would examine the money, and for like months they would just sit there and they would examine it, and they would look at it, and they would, you know, feel the texture, see what's on it, so that they could understand what the real looks like. But they had fake. The fake justifies the real. You can't have a fake of something that isn't real. So you can't have a fake Jesus or a false Jesus without actually having the real Jesus. So in some ways, it proves that the real Jesus exists, because how can you be portraying a false Jesus if there isn't a real Jesus? And of course, for those of us who know Christ, we know that Jesus is quite real and he is alive and well. I hope that this podcast is getting you to thinking. I hope you'll do your research. And if you do watch the series, am I hoping that you change your mind? I hope it does get you to at least thinking about it and say, maybe this is not the series that I should support. Or maybe you can start those conversations with people who you know that do watch the series and they love the series and think that it's just great and that it's actually portraying Jesus. And you can kind of bring them to these points and say, yes, but God's word actually says this, or God's word actually says that. And that's not what the series is doing, and that's not what the purpose of that scene was. It's for entertainment, and it's trying to be relevant rather than actually trying to be what God's word says. So that's what the point of these episodes are about, are to get you to thinking and hopefully get you to examine and dig deeper into the series. Okay, so let me say a quick prayer for us, because we are getting to the 20-minute mark, and I will continue this discussion on the next part of this episode. Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for giving me the platform to be able to bring the good news of your word to as many as I can through this podcast. This podcast has been downloaded in several countries. It's getting around the world, and all of that is due to you. To you be the glory for all of that. Lord, I just pray that people would read your word and that this podcast would lead them to your word, not to find entertainment or to find the answer somewhere else, but to find it solely in your word. And thank you for giving us your inspired word, that we can read and we can understand. It is our lifeline. It is our guide to life. And Lord, I just pray that there would be many that maybe have never opened a Bible before, or some that haven't opened it in a long time, that they would start opening it and spending time with you each and every day, because you love us more than we can ever imagine. And I just pray that they would let the word speak in their lives. Lord, I pray for those who don't know Christ, that they would come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior, whether it be through conversations with friends and family, whether it be through this podcast. I just pray that they would come to know you as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, thank you for sending Jesus to die for us. We, of course, are about to remember the special time where Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, and was the payment for our sins on the cross. And then he rose again on the third day and lives again. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for all the blessings in my life. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in. I know this episode's gone a little bit over the 20-minute mark, but as I said, I've got a lot to talk about as far as this topic goes. So I hope you will join me on the next part of this episode, Season 2, Episode 3. It's called Why the Series The Chosen Is So Dangerous. This is Truth from the Heart with Travis Sullivan. Remember, Jesus is King, Maranatha, and God bless until next time.